It's Monday, June the 20th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
This is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the goddamn world.
Oh, well, I don't approve of this change.
You do.
Swearing.
Anthony, look at me. I'm spinning in my chair.
Are you hyped up on, like, cocaine? Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, man. I did a few. But
are you in that Sugar Mountain?
No.
Okay.
But, big news.
What?
The legend of Taylor Swift continues to grow.
What? Okay. Tell me all about it.
So what is Taylor Swift most known for?
Breakups.
Yes. Breakups, and she has amassed quite the, how can we say?
Collection
of
ex-boyfriends.
Male species.
Specimens.
Yes.
Lab subjects.
Man. After recently breaking up with the Scottish DJ, Calvin Harris, which I recently found out wasn't his real name.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure Taylor Swift isn't her real name.
I'm pretty sure that's a real name, but like Calvin Harris, like his real name is like Adam something.
Yeah, people change their name for Hollywood all the time.
I guess so. Anyways, she is now dating Loki himself, Tom Hiddleston.
That's pretty cool. Good for him.
No, good for Taylor.
Good for him.
She's kind of amazing when you think about it. Because who's the other chick that used to do this all the time? Kim Kardashian used to do this all the time, right?
Okay.
And everybody like, yo, at KK, she's a bit of a whore.
She had no talent behind her.
And I mean, like, a lot of people still kind of judge Taylor Swift for it, but at the same time, it's like, you can't really judge Taylor Swift for it.
Yeah, I think the difference there is that people look at Taylor Swift and it's that, like, oh, she's earned her money.
Yeah.
And then when you look at Kim K, it's like, oh, you're famous because your dad was famous and now you have a big ass.
Mm.
And so it's easier to hate on her for any little thing she does.
Yeah. I just want to know if Taylor, like, I want to, because Taylor Swift does not come off as a dumb person to me.
No, like.
She seems very cold and calculated in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to believe her relationships are all just very, very well-played PR moves at the right time.
I want to believe that she is only doing this to get more material for songs.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. Because I know Tom Hiddleston, like, he's really big right now because he's in the running for Bond against Idris Elba. And just like, man, Taylor Swift is not really... Is she on tour right now?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no. But her name's out there, and people remember her.
Yeah, no. Even if I wanted to see Taylor Swift at a concert, her tickets are probably too expensive for me to warrant going.
Not true.
What?
If you bought tickets to the American Grand Prix, you could see Taylor Swift for free.
I guess.
Grass tickets are only $75.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. And you get to see a race, too.
I came for the race, stayed for the music.
Yeah, or something like that. But, the Legend of Taylor Swift continues. Good on you.
good on her. Good on her. Also good on him.
I think she's kind of like the female version of DiCaprio. But, like, DiCaprio's always with a new girl all the time. But you're like, DiCaprio.
Silly goose.
Yeah.
You're just going after him.
You know that guy's never getting married.
Or like George Clooney.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Taylor Swift.
But I have to join the league. Yeah. Like,
another notch.
Like,
what if
they have like? Yeah, I want to believe that they have like a secret ballers league where it's like you have to have a certain amount of notches in your belt of exes,
like celebrity exes.
Yeah, like celebrity exes. It's like George Clooney, and then vice chair is T Swift and Leo, and then like there's a bunch of like B tier people.
Yeah,
and they all hang out and dish gossip.
That'd be awesome. Damn.
It's like the Stonecutters.
I want to be part of that secret club.
Well, you start getting some notches in your belt, bud.
I guess.
Fine.
This week had a little bit of an impressions, a little demo review.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a review. I'd call it an impression.
Yeah, so...
Our thoughts.
Our thoughts. Let's see. Voltron, the Legendary Defender, debuted on Netflix. All 11 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They all appeared. It's been out for about a week now. I think it went up around when we recorded last week. And obviously we couldn't fit it in last week because we had a lot of other things we were doing.
Mm-hmm. It was E3.
Yeah.
If you still care about E3, go back and watch those videos because they're all on our YouTube channel.
I think I got them all up. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, no, I didn't see anything missing.
Okay. Yeah, so that was that. And we got around to watching some of Voltron, the Legendary Defender. Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode.
I watched the first two episodes.
So you watched 20 minutes more than me, I think.
The first episode's an hour. Like an hour and change.
Yeah, it's like three. It's technically three episodes.
That's crazy. Okay, yeah. So you watched three episodes, I watched four episodes.
Yeah. This is, of course, by the Legend of Korra / Avatar team.
And you can tell.
You can really tell. Yeah. And we here like both those series quite a lot. And so we have high hopes for this.
Yeah.
And so, Anthony, tell me what you thought. Wait, hold on. What's your Voltron background?
My Voltron background is that I know what Voltron is.
We don't know any of the story.
And I have a t-shirt with the pilots on it. Okay. And not the actual robot.
But you have like no idea about anything.
Like I know he's a lion. I know he defends the galaxy. I know they form like Voltron sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Okay.
So I'm coming into this fresh.
Okay. I know vaguely. I can remember the cartoon, the original cartoon.
Okay.
I watched the 3D one from the 90s.
Okay.
There was another one they put out. I think in the early 2000s.
Was it the dark, gritty reboot?
No, it wasn't that. But I can't quite remember if I made that up myself or if it was a real thing.
Okay.
But I know pretty much a lot of the story. I know the original, the Japanese Super Robot show that it stole from.
Okay.
Or they borrowed from.
Didn't they just bring that whole... Didn't you tell me a story like they brought over the wrong show? Yep. Like, okay.
Oh. What happened was... I can't remember who the... production studio was, but they were basically Japan showed them all these different super robots.
Yeah.
And there was one that had basically a lion's chest.
Okay.
But it was like a regular robot. It just had kind of like Gal-Gigar.
Yeah.
Right?
It just had a lion on its chest.
And the American producers were like, yes, bring us that one. The one with the lions.
Yeah.
But they said lions plural.
Oh, and then Japan was like, oh, Voltron.
So, yeah, so they're like, oh, they want Beast King Golion.
Okay.
So they sent over that, and they're like, that's not what we wanted, but whatever, we'll make do.
It's a cartoon.
Anyways, Beast King Golion, I believe that's what it's called.
Imagine how the world would have changed.
Yeah, it bombed in Japan.
Oh, I bet.
Like, no one liked Beast King Golion when it aired. But for some reason, it took off here in North America.
Because there's nothing like it.
So much so that Japan, the original studio, they sold all the rights off.
To America?
To America.
Cool.
The American studio. And now we have Voltron. And then for a while, Mattel had it and blah, blah, blah. And
now a real estate company owns it and they won't release it.
No, that's a different. That's Macross. That's Macross. McNuggets Macross. Anyways, yeah, we're here now. Voltron's happened. And the thing that the Legend of Korra / Avatar team have said about this show is, we want to make the Voltron that you remember, but not the one that actually existed.
Okay, no, that's smart.
Right?
That's smart.
So, it's like when we play those HD remasters of N64 games.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this looks exactly like what I remember! And then you go back and you're like, holy shit!
No, it's not!
Nope! It's way better! So that's the mentality they went in, so...
Man, those remastered Zelda games.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the mentality they used, and I hope it works out from the first couple of episodes. What did you think?
I thought that the show was really good. Like, surprise to me, this is a show I'm gonna continue with.
Okay.
And like, I don't continue with TV shows. Like either I binge them or I just never watch them again.
Yeah.
And I only had time to watch, the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really good. You can really tell that it's the Avatar team because they follow a lot of the same beats that were popular in Legend of Korra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's your Bolin equivalent. There's your Korra equivalent. There's your... Like, you can pretty much take every single one of these characters and relate them to a character in Avatar.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not necessarily a bad thing because they still are unique enough in their own way to where it doesn't feel like a rehash of a character, at least to me.
Yeah.
And I like that in the first episode, they get through all the boring stuff. They get through origins. They get through how to form, like, Voltron. They get through getting all the lions. Like, those aren't wasted in the lion share of episodes.
Wow!
Of episodes, right? Ha! And it was just quality. Like, I thought this was going to be a show where I'm going to boot it up. I'm going to listen to it in the background, and I'm just going to, like, play Metal Gear Acid.
Oh.
Right? And I, like, it was good enough to where I wanted to pay attention.
Yeah.
The writing is clever enough for, I can see that, like, the situation of a kid watching this and just being like, sick, robots, lions, and a bigger robot. Mm. Right? And then I can see an adult actually having fun with the show as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. They straddle the line between adult humor and kid humor in this really fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like, it's just like really silly gags in it. Like, we'll even watch the second episode, so I won't say anything, but the whole episode deals with how, like, they form like Voltron, but they didn't know how they did it.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so they're trying to recreate the magic. And there's a lot of hilarious stuff that comes out of that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, all the characters are likable. Even like the kid who would see the green lion, the one who would seem annoying.
Yeah.
You kind of feel for him. You're not just like, oh, stop whining about your parents. It's not like, okay, you have a reason to be whiny, but it looks like you're actually actively trying to do something instead of just whine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fantastic.
How do you feel about the Winter Soldier?
What?
You know, the leader.
Chris Evans?
The leader.
Is he Chris Evans?
No, I mean the fact that he has the fucking cyborg arm.
Oh, yeah.
He was taken captive.
Yeah, and he has a cyborg. And he's
suddenly amazing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, that guy's cool. But he always seemed to have the mentality of a leader, at least from the show.
Yeah.
I thought that the red jacket guy was going to be the leader. Yeah, Keith was going to be the leader.
Keith is he's an interesting fellow.
He's a hothead. He's a Vince archetype.
And you'll see why I love him.
Okay.
When the show, I have not heard anything about it yet, but if they follow his arc from the original, then you'll see why I love him.
Okay.
Oh, you'll see what happens.
Yeah. There's just a lot of great stuff. A lot of great teamwork building episodes that where in our anime club we're watching Boku no Hero Academia.
Yeah.
And those team building episodes were like mediocre at best.
Yeah, they're all right.
And in this show, I think the team building episodes are fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of have like nothing but good things to say about this show. Like, if there's any knock against it for me, it is maybe an over reliance on CG. I am more of a fan of the 2D hand drawn stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe that like some of their archetypes stick too close with Avatar. But that doesn't really bother me as much as I thought it would.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mostly agree with you. Say, like, I really like it from the outset. There were, you said the CGI. I'm like, yeah, I think that's the number one thing for me that's throwing me off. Which is weird, just because I don't remember Korra or Avatar relying that heavily on it.
They had it for, I believe, the cars in Korra and the mechs.
Oh yeah, they did.
They did, but they were never like the cars and mechs were never so prominent in the show.
Yeah.
Right.
Because every time they go to space.
Yeah. Every time they go to space, every time all the lions are chilling,
yeah.
You have these like really beautifully drawn like 2D hand drawn backgrounds, and then you just have these like five blocky lion robots, and it's just like you just seem super out of place.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah,
I feel like they lose a lot of the impact in the combination sequence.
I also don't think they animate as well as the drawn characters.
No, they don't.
Yeah, because they move back and forth between the two. Like, they'll have a cockpit view, and then they'll show the lion, or they'll go back to home base, then back to the lion.
Yeah.
And when you see, like, these really beautiful, like, intricate animations, when they want to be, like, the show also does, like, the really stuttery, like, quick animations for comedic effect, right?
But when they're doing
their serious mode, and they're doing hand-to-hand stuff, like, it's insanely well-detailed. And then you go to the lions who are trying to do the same thing in a combat scenario, and they just look like just giant hunks of just like they look like Duplo blocks, and they're just like sliding.
They kind of do look like toys on screen.
And maybe that's the thing they were going for.
Like, maybe
if they're trying to get that toy scene back in action.
I don't know. It's not like this thing's trying to sell merch.
Yeah. Well, it is on Netflix. True.
Yeah. Right. They don't have that problem. Although I do want to buy a Voltron. I'll say that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I want correction. I want to buy a combining Ultron or Voltron.
Well, yeah.
I want to buy the separate lions, and then each of them is their transforms into their part.
Yeah, that's the only Voltron. Yeah.
Because like I think I always feel with these ones, at least American toys, mm-hmm. like you do get some of the combiners and yep. Transformers, but those are like the higher end toys. Mm-hmm. I feel. Mm-hmm. Or I don't. You're better on this than I am.
Yeah.
But like over here, I always felt that they kind of skimp on it. Like it's like, oh, here's a Voltron, or here's the five lions separately.
Yeah, I mean, Voltron's always been tricky. The last great one that Mattel put out was a subscription service. And basically you pay, I think it happened over 10 months.
Okay.
And every second month they would send you a lion. And each of these lions, I think, were like $100.
Oh, and it's like mail order only?
Yeah.
Man, the aftermarket on that must be insane.
It's also like 2 feet tall.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's this, and like it combines, it comes with pilots and stuff, and you can put them in the lions.
That's sick.
Like, it's really cool, but it's also, man, it was tough to get a hold of.
Okay.
And, yeah. But, yeah, how do you feel about the design of this Voltron? Do you like the look of it?
I find it weird that his hands are just lion heads.
Well, that's just Voltron.
Right? Like, I feel like when I look at Super Robots, like I'm looking at Gal Gadot right now, yeah. It's like, you just need hands. Like, just give me hands. Or, like, give, like, hands with lion claws on them or something. But he just has two lion heads as hands, and they, like, growl into things.
Yeah.
I guess that part's a little weird for me, but I can't see it, like, destroying the show. Like, it's just like, that'll be something I get used to.
Well, you haven't seen him pull out the sword yet, right?
No, there is no sword yet.
Okay.
Like, right now, he's just, like, using roar attacks.
Because that's, like, that's kind of Voltron's thing. He pulls out the sword, and sometimes he has a shield, and so the hands kind of, you don't really see them anymore, right?
A lion's head biting the hilt of a sword.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
When he forms a sword, you'll be like, what the fuck?
Okay, yeah. All right.
I wish I watched more because I didn't say any of the iconic lines.
Oh, okay.
I wish they were like, form arms
and... I'll form the head.
Yeah, form the head.
The closest thing was in episode 1. Where the yellow guy was just like, I'm a leg! I'm a leg.
That's what he says.
But they haven't done it. Like, even in episode 2, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's not something they're going to do till maybe midway through, maybe even the end. Who knows?
That'll be like the climax.
Yeah, kind of like on the Avengers, they never say Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I really enjoy it. Nothing I can really put against it. I think the world that they've built is pretty interesting. Universe galaxies.
Yeah, and they have the dimensional gates.
Yeah,
the lion's gates.
He is the defender of the universe.
True.
So it's kind of his shtick.
Yeah, they're not on Earth, but they went to a planet that really looks like Earth, and then you're like,
went to a couple planets that look like Earth.
Yeah, they did.
Like, there's one planet where there's just a sloth.
Yeah, he's just chilling.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
Maybe he's the defender of dimensions.
Yo, what if he shows up on the Avatar world?
That'd be hilarious.
And like Korra's like, what the fuck? What the
hell is that? Can we bend that? Like, what if someone tries to metal bend Voltron?
No.
Okay.
Because Voltron will just shoot beams and be like, what is that?
laser bend.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll definitely try and finish it for next week. It's I really enjoy it. I hope I like it all the way through.
No, it looks, so far it looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Make no mistake, it's no Tenga Tapu Gurren Lagann, but...
Listen, few things are. Like, right. That can't be our focal point. Like, it's like...
That can't be the benchmark?
Yeah, that can't be the benchmark, because then everything is garbage.
Okay. Fair enough, yeah.
It's like, oh, this show was really great, and then you're like, but was it Gurren Lagann great? You're like, no, you're right, it's garbage. Just throw it in the throw it in the trash can. Like, I don't even know why I did this.
Okay, I tried. So definitely recommend it if you have Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. If you don't have Netflix because you are living in an area without Netflix, there's other means.
But we don't recommend them.
Listen, if you live in some country that doesn't have Netflix, I recommend doing that.
Okay.
I will say that.
If your laws allow you to do that.
Canada allows you to do that.
Canada does allow, but it does not allow you to upload.
No, Canada does allow you to upload.
I thought it didn't. Like, you can download, but you can't upload.
No, Canada allows you to upload.
What?
If you look at, this is kind of inside baseball now, but if you look at all the torrent trackers and stuff, they're all coming from Canada. If you look at all the TV show rips, they're all from, like, CTV.
Oh, global. Sick.
Yeah, they're all from us.
Canada's the best.
Yeah.
Canada's pretty dope.
I think they're all from, like, people based in Toronto.
Which is surprising why Disney has an exclusive Netflix in Canada specifically.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sick. Thanks, guys. You gave me free HD streams I can rip now.
Yeah. Sweet. Let's move on to our picks of the week. And I'm going to take it way back. Way, way back.
Prehistoric era. Dinosaurs, T-Rexes.
2006 back.
Okay, it's not as far as
I thought. Oh, what happened in 2006? You remember 2006?
2006. I was 16.
Yeah.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
I think I had a math test.
Yeah, okay.
It was a really cold winter that
year. What was the internet like in 2006?
2006, it was DSL, maybe.
What did you do on the internet?
16?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Porn.
Oh, okay.
Like, honestly, 16 on the internet.
Okay, well, how about more like regular day to day?
Regular day to day. I was playing MMOs.
Okay.
I was playing.
MMOs. Was YouTube around in 2006?
It was. Wait, no, was it? I just did a whole assignment on YouTube.
It was. It was around in 2006.
Okay, then yeah, it was. But I never used it.
You didn't use YouTube in 2006? So if I told you Lonely Girl 15, you wouldn't know?
No clue.
Damn, man. So 2006, Lonely Girl 15, that was the first time I paid attention to the YouTube scene.
Okay.
Because, so nowadays when you go to YouTube, there's a lot of people who just put up, they like to vlog their life and they like to do everything.
A little shameless promotion for you. You made a vlog.
I did!
And it's on channel Type V3.
Yeah, of our E3 trip.
Of our E3 trip.
Anyways, Lonely Girl 15 was the first girl to do this, but...
Didn't she, like, make it up?
But it wasn't real.
Okay.
It was a fully... it was a production show that was made to look real, like real life.
Okay.
But back in 2006, no one kind of knew what was real and what was production on the internet.
Even now, like...
Yeah.
Even now.
But it was basically a teen drama that was real, that you wanted to believe was real. And it went on for like a year or two until the gig was up. You know, she was found out and blah, blah, blah. But I just remember that as being like one of the hallmark staples of YouTube's life and the internet. As it
was being like, who is this girl? Why is her life so
And like a lot of people, I still believe that a lot of people's vlogs and stuff, they were inspired by that. And that's where they came from. Her channel's still up if you want to go there.
Okay.
She hasn't posted anything in 7 years.
Until now.
Until now.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was
Until
joking.
Until now.
But they're just giving me a history lesson.
And she just... First of all, it's the same girl. It's 10 years later. She does not look that much older.
Okay. 10 years is a long time not look older.
I'm like, damn, girl, you still look like you're 16. Maybe a little bit older, like you're in college now, but...
Creepy.
10 years. And she just has this weird, like, one-minute announcement about how you've been selected and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, what? She's like, you've been selected. Don't worry. Get ready. And then that's just it. She's back. And I don't know what it is. And I'm so hyped. I don't know what it is.
For someone who actually tricked the internet, like, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is.
Because, like, nothing is sacred on the internet now.
Yeah, like, it's hard to keep secrets, and it's... No one ever believes you now.
Yeah. That's why, like, April Fool's stories now are just driven into the ground.
Yeah.
They're not fun anymore.
And so that's why, like, the whole point of this is it's... We all know that it's obviously fake, whatever she does next. Yeah. But it's, what is she going to do next? What if that's the trick? What if it is real?
Okay. That'd be cool.
But no, but she's back, and I'm just like, yo, she's back. I'm gonna subscribe and tune in.
That's weird.
Yeah, and then speaking of other people who have come back from the past, Adult Swim have shown off their first image from Samurai Jack.
Looks gritty.
2.0.
Looks gritty.
He's got that hair down.
Yeah, got blood on him.
What happened to Jack?
He's tired of being in the future, man. He wants to go back to the past.
Where'd the blood come from?
Probably killed Doku.
No.
Was it Doku?
Baku.
Oh, Baku. Doku's from Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. He came into contact with Afro Samurai, is what happened.
Ew. Like, Afro Samurai has, like, cool action scenes, but I don't want the story of Afro Samurai anywhere near Samurai Jack.
Oh, okay. I tried. Yeah. It looks cool.
It does. Like, that's the only thing they've shown. It's finally, like, they announced it a while ago, but it's nice to see confirmation that it's still happening. Because they were pretty much all dark on it for the longest time.
I do want to go back and watch the original again, because I forget.
So what you're telling me is that you want to have a Samurai Jack club.
Oh my god. There's so many episodes, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because I can't remember how that ended.
I just remember one specific episode that, like, really stayed with me, where it was all silent. Like, there was no talking in the whole episode. It went through the changing of the seasons and all the things that happened to Jack in his journey. Mm-hmm. That episode is really good.
Yeah, it's on Adult Swim, which kind of sucks. That means it's going to be a week-to-week show.
Yeah. Not everything can be Voltron, man.
I know. I shouldn't complain. I like watching week-to-week stuff. But when it comes to, like, cartoons, I
kind of just want to binge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's different. But yeah, that's it for me. What's your picks?
My pick, first off, is about TNIB's new official game, knocking Destiny out of the list. Overwatch.
Oh, that's our official game?
I guess.
That's the official game of TNIB?
Yeah, I'm going to say that because I don't want it to be Destiny anymore.
Okay.
So I'm going to push it out.
But you know, that group on Facebook says Destiny.
I can change it. Listen, I made that group. I can change it.
Okay. I'm just letting you know.
It can be, what's an O word to follow Overwatch that also makes group? Like Overwatch?
I don't know. Weren't they just called The Overwatch?
The Overwatch? I'll name the group The Overwatch.
Okay.
So Overwatch right now is it's pretty bare bones in terms of features.
Yeah.
But a while ago they have announced that there's going to be a competitive ranked mode.
Yeah.
And they have shown details on what that's going to be.
Yep.
So there's going to be short seasons within the year. So you're not just going to, it's not going to be like 1 year as a season. It's going to be every 3 months.
Nice.
So you play placement matches against people, I assume similar level or character level to you. And then depending on how you do and if your team wins or not, you get placed with MMR. So MMR is a MOBA term, a MOBA algorithm used to determine skill.
Okay.
It is usually not the best factor of it, because a lot of it has to do with your overall result. Like, you could have been the best player on both teams, but if your team loses, you're gonna get heavily penalized for your MMR, right?
Well, yeah, man.
Yeah, so it's not really the best use of it. And I see some people online just being like, MMR, no.
I don't know, man. There's some controversy in the real sports, you know.
In real sports.
You know, should MVP be given to the losing team?
Oh, true. You told me about this. Real sports.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a thing that seems iffy, like, but this is a different game than a MOBA.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are, like,
tweaks
and stats that they can use to,
of course,
to fix it, like, whatever stuff that doesn't work. So they're going to have MMR to determine your skill.
Yeah.
And then from then on, you get placed into tiers and leagues and whatever.
I just hope that it's like the support characters have a different, or I guess each of the classes have different.
That's another thing. Yeah. So MMR in MOBAs, at least I found this with League of Legends, where if you're a support character and you're like, because your stuff is mainly based off of assists.
Yeah.
You're never killing anybody.
Yeah.
And you die a lot as a support character.
Yeah.
But like, the MMR will just take, it's like, oh, you died a bunch of times and only got assists. Like, yeah, you suck.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Right? So hopefully that is taken into consideration.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. The other thing is that they're going to change the assault format on certain maps.
I heard.
So Hanamura and Temple of Anubis specifically, they're going to change it so that the way it's played is it's not so hard for one team or the other. Like, it just doesn't quickly sway in one direction, or the other team just doesn't have a chance to do anything.
Yes.
Right? Especially in Hanamura, like, I feel like that map needs more openings. Like, yeah. you have the main gate, and you have the little, like, cubby hole at the top. But there's really nothing else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, Hanamura. And yeah, Temple of Anubis is okay. It's a little corridored.
Temple of Anubis is only hard getting the second point.
The second point's hard.
Yeah, that's the hard one.
Yeah, right. Every single time I am on defending team of Temple of Anubis, mm-hmm. there's a one person Reinhardt, there's a one person Bastion, and there's me as Mercy.
Yeah.
And you just chill on the point, and I'm power boosting a Bastion.
Yeah.
And the Reinhardt shielding the Bastion, and then the Bastion just goes.
Yeah.
Right? So seems like a very one-note strategy so far. The other things that they are doing is that they're changing how overtime works. They don't want it to happen so often.
It does happen a lot.
Yeah. Because so how overtime works now is that if you are, say you're capping a point.
Yeah.
Right? And you're at 99.
Mm-hmm.
But an enemy is on a point. Instead of you just winning, it'll go into overtime.
Yeah.
And what that means is the enemy has a chance to come back and retake the point. But it happens so frequently that they're just like, eh, this is not what we originally intended.
Yeah.
We're gonna make that less of a thing so that it's exciting when it does happen.
How are they going to do that, though?
They could up the required amount of people that have to be on a point or on an objective to trigger overtime. Because right now it's just one person just has to be there.
It's true.
Yeah.
Man, there's been a lot of times where that one person really goes and counts. Like, it's just... It takes forever.
Yeah. The other thing is now you'll be able to tell if people are partied up in a match.
Oh.
Because right now you don't really know unless you're in that party.
That's great. But did they fix the party system in that game?
Doesn't really say that. That's stupid. And then also in ranked there will be rewards for players who do well, and these rewards will be cosmetic.
What do I get?
Sprays, player icons who participate in the season. Hey. Also a golden gun.
Oh,
system I want that as one. Well. Which will make your weapons cooler.
I hope it's not just gold.
Yeah, and there's also unique exclusive rewards.
I hope they have, like, event skins.
That'd be cool. Like, right now, so, like, that was the big thing with League. Of, like, a lot of it that kept me going when I was, like, quote-unquote stuck in yellow hell.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I get batched up with bad people all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Is, like, the way my characters look.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just, like... Skins can be a driving force, even though they're strictly cosmetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really it for the Overwatch patch. So it's going to be ranked. There's going to be a bunch of system fixes. And that seems a lot more exciting. There was still talk of the nerfs and updates? I don't know if that patch has gone out yet.
It's gone out to PC.
But not for console?
Console, I think they're in the submission stage still.
Okay.
Like, so it's supposed to be out sometime this following week, but I can't wait for that patch to go because McCree is too much for me.
McCree's kind of nuts.
I cannot believe how much he can just stop anybody.
No, yeah, no, everyone, every single person. It's like, oh, you're Roadhog, you're dead.
Yeah, man.
It's something else.
Yeah,
something else.
Yeah.
My other pick is a game from E3 that I wanted to shine some light on.
E3?
Yeah, it didn't come up in any press conferences, so I didn't really get a chance to talk about it.
That means it's not very good.
It is looks very good. I haven't played it.
Okay.
So I can't tell, but it looks very good.
Ah.
This is Nier Automata. Automata? Like
Automodelista?
Maybe. It's a cel-shaded car game that's really hard.
Okay.
No, it's so it is published by Square Enix. It is made by Platinum's quote unquote A team.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it is like kind of a sequel to Nier. So Nier is a PlayStation 3 game that came out a while ago. And it was just like it was indie darling. Like people loved it. And there's a bunch of like hipsters who are like, Nier's like the best game in the world. And like that game is good.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you've heard from other people that it is nothing if not flawed. Like there are some certain things in that game that don't work out so well, but the overall concept and idea are fantastic.
Mm.
So there's a bunch of gameplay clips that came out. So they have a story trailer, a Nier Automata story trailer, and a boss battle trailer.
Yeah,
and there's also some extended gameplay stuff. But I think those two trailers really show off the like what Nier is kind of all about.
Yeah.
And especially this new one because it's made by Platinum, so it's it's more third person action with your combos and you're like sliding. The big thing about Nier though was boss battles were almost bullet hells.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're getting shot with like think of like a shoot 'em up, right? Like a Raiden or What's that PlayStation 1? Solander?
Yeah.
Yeah, Solander, or if you're into the Japanese stuff, Dodonpachi. And,
just say the best one, man.
What? Ikaruga?
There you go.
Ikaruga. If you're like Ikaruga, if you like Ikaruga, that's what a bullet hell is.
Yeah.
And so this one is, they have certain boss battles that are like bullet hells, but because your character has so much more movement than the first game, it looks just so much more stylish, and they can kind of get crazier with their bullet patterns, and the game just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I just want to highlight Nier Automata.
Cool.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Yeah, like, I know you haven't played Nier.
I wanted to, but like...
You can borrow it.
I heard enough about it to be like, yeah, it seems like a cool idea, but maybe I'll just wait for the sequel.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited just because so far the last two Platinum games have been either okay or disappointing.
What were the last two Platinum games?
Transformers Devastation.
Oh yeah.
And Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah, that hot classic.
And like I liked Transformers, but it's not that in-depth combat system. It is God of War, square, 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 triangle, triangle.
I would say it's even less than God of War.
Even less than God of War. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The homing button when you turn to a car.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of cool stuff in that game.
It's a lot of cool stuff that's awesome for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, that game's very short. But I haven't heard really great things about, was it Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, I heard a lot of bad things, actually.
Yeah, so that's very disappointing as well. So I'm excited for this game and Scalebound. So, like, the two like, apparently A-tier Platinum development games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Was there any other E3 things that we want to talk about?
God of War is actually a sequel now, so we said on our thing that we thought it would be a reboot on our Sony impressions.
It's a fucking sequel.
But it's just a sequel. Like, you've killed all the gods, so you've moved on, had a kid, and you're like, Norse gods gotta go. Like,
yeah. What?
Yeah, so that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
What else is so it turns out also that Final Fantasy 15 VR experience it's just a shooting gallery. So it's just like you stand there and shoot stuff, and then you can take a ride with Sydney.
Like to take a ride with Sydney.
Yeah, so apparently I was listening to E3 podcast, and there were just people at the booth, and they would just it's like they didn't even realize that they were in a public space.
Yeah.
And they would look at Sydney and just put the VR as close to her boobs as possible. Like, and just like try and like motorboat them almost.
Well, what else are you supposed to do?
Apparently at E3, there was a Naughty America booth.
Yeah, man.
VR porn is coming for you.
Let me tell you, let's just say I am sold on VR.
Sold on VR.
I can't wait for my PlayStation VR to come in the mail.
What if you can get your controller to make it feel like a stranger?
Damn. I wonder if there'll be a special attachment.
Teledildonics is on the way.
The future of pornography.
It's VR and teledildonics.
Man, yeah. Did you see... You saw that article, right? How they film VR porn?
It's like, the 360. Seems like so much work.
Yeah. And then the girl's like, it's very weird. And the guy's like, I have to be as still as possible.
I cannot move.
And I'm like, that is an art form.
They're suffering for their art.
I mean, VR porn. We'll let you know.
Well, yeah, we'll report back. You're one-stop shop for all VR porn knowledge.
Yeah, I guess that's it for
E3. Yeah, there's a couple other things that came out of E3. There's a bunch of more theories on the Death Stranding trailer. Maybe necessarily that's not even a game.
That's true.
Because there's a lot of stuff, if you like metaphorically take it, it's like it represents Kojima's time at Konami.
That's too deep.
Yeah, and like the five things hanging in the air are all five of his Metal Gear games.
Too deep.
That are hanging over his head.
That's a little above me.
And yeah, so it gets really metaphorical.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put it past Kojima, but yeah, there's a lot of fan stuff going on.
Yeah, it's
What else is there? Yeah, there wasn't Sniper Elite 4.
Was not at E3.
It was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's got shrapnel kills now.
Wow.
Slow mo bullets.
Exciting. So exciting.
Those games are fun.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. We pretty much covered most of E3.
The only thing that I really wanted to see that they didn't show was I wanted to know what Infinite Warfare's multiplayer was.
I wanted to see if it would have all those cool gadgets.
I want to know if it was in space.
It better be in space.
What if it's just, like, on space colonies?
That would be lame. Nuketown space colony?
Yeah.
There was a first-person, competitive first-person shooter for the PC, like, when I was, like, 17. Yes. Like, 2007. Mm. I want to say it was called, like, Event Horizon. I forget what it was called. But it was a competitive shooter in zero gravity.
Oh, wow.
And you fought in space.
Dark Void?
No, it was not Dark Void. Dark Void is the jetpack.
Oh, with magnet boots.
With magnet boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was PC only. Mm. It's made by some, like, European dudes.
It was good.
It was super fun. But people couldn't handle, like, 3D space awareness.
Oh, I remember. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah,
yeah. So you could come up from underneath people, behind people, yeah. The side. Like, you can just, like, come at all angles at a person.
Yeah.
And just, like, a lot of people got sick playing it.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
And they weren't even in VR.
Because it's like playing a high, like a really fast shooter, but you got, like, the, I guess, space and awareness of, like, a 3D platformer.
Yeah.
So you're, like, spiral going around.
Yeah, yeah. And you're also just, like, you're hovering almost at all times. Like, you can plant yourself on something, but that's not stopping anybody from just, like, coming below you and shooting you in the feet.
I don't think Call of Duty could do that.
Yeah. If they did, though, that would be cool. That would
be too much of a change, man.
Infinite warfare. Warfare changes, especially when it's infinite.
Yeah, but who cares?
I guess. But yeah.
All right, then.
We covered, if you guys want to hear our thoughts on E3, do go check out those E3 videos. Yeah,
check out all five of them.
All five of them.
Yeah, do that.
We did a lot of them.
We did.
Some of them are 40 minutes. Some of them are 5 minutes.
So collectively, you're looking at, like, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's two podcasts.
I don't know. Let's move on to our weeks. I'll kick things off. I've been playing just Overwatch. More Overwatch. I've been trying to expand to more of the roster.
Okay.
I've decided I can't play Genji. Can't play Reaper.
But Genji's so good at taking out Bastions, though.
I can't play Hanzo.
But his hitbox is so generous on that arrow.
Yeah, but I can't do it. Okay. I just can't do it. I can't play Reinhardt.
I can play Reinhardt all day.
I can't play Roadhog.
Roadhog's weird.
Junkrat is the weird one where it's like, so I just lob these things into places.
Yeah, and you bank them off stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I'm cheating.
You gotta be good at geometry.
Yeah. I like all the support characters.
Okay, yeah, no, support characters are fun.
That's fun, but yeah.
Zenyatta's still the hardest one for me.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Zenyatta lately, and I've had a lot of fun. I just wish he was faster. And I wish he didn't just go down.
Slow.
He goes down so fast.
Yeah.
Getting better at Widowmaker. Tracer's my it girl at the moment.
Mm. What? Yeah. I was going to go back to Zenyatta for a second, but it is that weird balance of shooting a ball at someone and then having the ball on you. Because when you have the ball on you, you're getting health regeneration.
Yeah.
Right? And it makes you a bit beefier.
Yes.
It's the trade-off. It's the trade-off of healing your teammate and then leaving yourself vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's super addictive. Too addictive. But, oh, God, I really do hate the loot box system.
Why are you... So, I saw you were, like, level 30-something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently 30, as soon as you hit level 30, that is what your level progression will be now until forever.
Yeah, no, it was like that since, I think, level 23, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's 22,000.
Oh, okay.
That's what you need. I've worked it out. I need to play 8 games to level up.
It's not that bad.
It's not bad. Each game is about, like, 11 minutes, so it's about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
To level
up. It's like a good play session.
Yeah, so I try and do one level a day.
Let's keep the doctor away?
Yeah.
All right.
That's my goal. But no.
I'm done with solo queue. I can't fucking play solo queue.
Oh, man, it's so much fun.
I can't do it.
I just put on a podcast, and I don't even care if I win or lose. I just play for myself.
It's just frustrating when it's like no one's support. It's okay, I'll play support. Like, I don't even mind playing support. But no one support because they're all playing Hanzo. And I'm like, because
you gotta get better, bro.
Yeah, Mercy can only do so much.
And then you get to play with all the cool kids.
Yeah, Mercy can only do so much.
So there's people like trolling. This is the internet.
Yeah.
There's this one guy trolled my team super hard. Like, it sucked.
What'd he do?
So it's a payload map. And payload's like Rush, right?
Yeah.
Like, different points, and then that moves up the spawn area.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the defending. We were at the final point before they could win.
Yeah.
Our guy, our one on our team, he had a Symmetra, and he put the teleporter at the original enemy spawn point.
Oh my god.
So we would walk through it, and
then you'd be on the other end of the map.
Yeah.
That's ingenious, but also insanely mean.
That's when I was just like, why are you playing? Like, I understand wanting to, I guess, goof around and I guess, troll people.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's just like, well, why are you even playing this game?
Yeah. Maybe he's filming a YouTube video.
Maybe.
Maybe he's trying to get reactions over the mic.
Maybe. So I just stood there and stared at him for like 5 minutes.
I'm getting a lot more older dudes now, like college, seemingly aged dudes, just swearing into microphones.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right. I don't hear anybody because I always have headphones in.
Oh, okay.
Listening to stuff. But yeah, the Overwatch is hella fun. That's what I want to say. Why I don't like the loot box system. I got 2 loot boxes in a row. All 8 items were duplicates.
What?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, don't worry, you get 5 coins each.
Each? That's ew.
Yeah, it sucked.
That's garbage.
And then after that, I finally watched a movie.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that I wanted to watch for the longest time.
The Goonies.
Nope.
Goonies 2.
Nope.
Mortal Kombat.
Nope.
Street Fighter the movie.
I've seen that way too many times.
It's a great movie.
Oh, that's not clear.
Going to punch you, and then all the bison wannabes are going to feel it.
Shit happens in this movie.
Yeah.
When they go 88 miles per hour.
Oh, Fast and the Furious.
That's right! No. I watched Back to the Future.
2?
The original.
No.
1985.
All right.
MJ Fox.
Marty McFly.
Yeah, Marty McFly.
Doc.
And Dockie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the movie I thought it would be.
What do you think it would be?
I don't know, but I didn't. I just thought it would be a little bit more of an adventure.
It's surprisingly serious.
It is, and that girl is just fucking thirsty.
Thirsty for Marty.
Marty's mom is thirsty. I was taken aback. I'm like, when was this movie made?
The amount of thirst happening.
I was like, someone, geez.
Get that girl some water.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't... Actually, fuck it, yeah. You've all seen this movie by now. I don't have to worry about spoilers.
Yeah, no, it's 1980s, like...
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't think Doc would die.
Yeah.
In the beginning. Like, that, I was shocked. I was like...
Then he's gotta go back in time and change it.
Yeah. Michael J. Fox looks too old to be in high school.
He does not look like a high schooler.
I was like, you look like you just graduated. Why are you on a skateboard? Like, and when I say graduate, I mean you graduated college.
Hello, young teens.
And he's like, look at my skateboard. And I was like, whoa. What the movie does really well is capture the 80s.
Yep.
The first, like, half an hour, I'm like, holy shit, this is the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
How weird. And then when they're in the, was it, 50s?
Yes.
They're in the 50s. That was pretty fun.
Poodle skirts.
Swing dancing. I gotta say, it was all around, it was a really good movie. It was a fun little romp.
I want to see your reaction to 2 and 3.
So that was the plan, but I figured, nah, I'm gonna watch Ghostbusters next week.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah. Eventually.
Oh, eventually I'll get back to it.
Like, because 3 is actually my favorite.
Is it?
Back to the Future.
Like, okay, so watching Back to the Future, like, I understand why people like it. Yeah. But I am surprised that it took off as big as it did.
I think it's one of those things where, like, say me with Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch that movie as a kid, like
yeah.
I did,
yeah.
That movie is magical.
Mm.
That movie is giving you ideas that you never thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's doing stuff that your little kid brain is just like, you could do this, like, things can happen like this. I remember the thing that is most vivid in my brain about that movie is the fact that is that movie that taught me changing things in the past changes things in the future. Yes. And when he changes certain things and the picture, the family picture starts to fade differently, it like blew my mind.
Oh, wow.
Because my like little kid brain didn't think, I was like, no, he just does a couple things here and everything's normal. Like,
yeah.
Right, and so I don't know. There's like a certain magic quality to that movie when you're young.
That's what I thought. So I was thinking maybe it's just I'm old. I'm just I came to it too late, and so I just won't be able to appreciate it as much as most people do.
Mm-hmm. And it's not really appreciation; it's nostalgia.
But then I thought, but then why did it work with Star Wars? Why do I love Star Wars?
Why do you still love Star Wars?
Yeah, I didn't see Star Wars until maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
True, you, yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I really love Star Wars. So why didn't it work with Back to the Future? And then that's the one thing I couldn't quite explain to myself. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, whatever. It's a good movie. I'll acknowledge that. But it was just fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good movie. But that was it? That was your week?
That was it.
I also watched movies.
Uh-oh.
I did. It's true.
Please tell me watch Popstar.
What? What's that?
Don't Stop Popping.
What's that one? Is it like a pop and lock movie? Is it a dance movie?
Come on, Connor for real?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Andy Samberg?
Nope.
He made a movie!
What?
Yeah!
He made the movie with Adam Sandler where Adam Sandler's a shitty dad and...
No! Andy Samberg? Lonely Island?
Yeah. What about him?
He breaks off from the Lonely Island. He becomes a solo pop star.
Is that movie out yet?
Yeah,
is
man.
Is it on DVD?
No, it's on. It's in the theater.
Oh, I didn't even realize that movie was out yet.
I heard that movie is incredible.
I want to see it.
And I heard he has like every cameo you can think of.
All right. It's like Zoolander.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or Two-Lander.
Only it was probably better, apparently.
Zoolander's funny.
But this is a musical.
Okay. I'm down. Listen, Tuesdays, that's cheap movie night.
Anyways, what did you see?
I saw a movie that I didn't realize had came to, left theaters, and then already got a DVD release.
Oh, okay. This must be... Zootopia.
No.
Okay, what?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, yeah, they came out in March.
Yeah, I did not... I just, like, that movie was in theaters and left already? Like, I had no clue. I was walking through a Walmart, and I was just like... Oh, that's a copy of 10 Cloverfield Lane. What?
Yeah.
And so I watched it. Yeah. I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane. That movie's good.
Did you like the first Cloverfield?
I don't remember it at all.
See, that's a problem. See, I have 10 Cloverfield Lane, but I've been putting off because I can't remember Cloverfield.
I remember that there is an alien and the, like, J.J. Abrams basically wanted kaijus, but, like, more terrifying and more brutal.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, it's all found footage, right?
That's what it was. Yeah. I'd never finished the movie.
Yeah, it was all found footage. And, like, you barely see the monsters at certain times. Like, it was more of a horrific take on kaiju stuff. Like, I wouldn't say it's a horror movie, but they're going for that tone. Whereas 10 Cloverfield Lane is interesting because as the viewer of that movie, you know what's happened.
Yes.
You have this knowledge that the characters don't, and that only one of the characters does, right?
John Goodman?
John Goodman does. And he only half has that knowledge. He only, like, kind of knows.
Is it like a friend of a friend?
It's more of...
I was there, but like, I was knocked out.
He's a little loose in the head, and something terrible did actually happen, but he doesn't explain it correctly, and it makes him seem crazy.
That's about right.
Right. And it's this weird, it's weird because you almost feel like you're part of the movie. I haven't watched anything recently in memory that makes me feel like this way, where you look at these characters and their actions that they're doing within the movie, and you just want to be like, no, just don't do that. Cause I know what's out there. Right. And it's like purposely frustrating.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of characters where you know what they're thinking and, like, what their thought process is because of the situation they're in. But the crucial piece of information that they're missing is what's outside.
Yeah.
Right?
They're missing the X factor.
They're missing that X factor.
Okay.
And it's really interesting to watch in the movie, there is a total of 4 actors.
Cool.
There is the 3 people in the bunker and a mystery 4th one.
Okay.
Right? I won't spoil it. But there is a total of 4 actors in the whole movie. Wow. And it's amazing what they can accomplish with only 4 people.
Wait, is it the equivalent of, like, a TV bottle episode?
Like, what do you mean by, like, a bottle episode?
Like, they're all stuck in one place.
Yep.
And I guess a true bottle episode, it's all in real time.
There's a bunch of time skips.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of time skips and stuff like that. But it is a bottle episode in the sense of there is 1 to 2 settings.
Wow.
And it all takes place in those 1 to 2 settings.
Sounds exciting.
It's a really cool movie.
It's like The Room.
Yeah, just like, kind of. Just in the way that it's, like, even, like, maybe, like, Panic Room. Remember Panic Room?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, where it just takes place in the house.
Yeah.
Right? It makes that, because they're only focusing on such a little area, it makes that, like, situation feel more real. And you kind of know everything that's going on within the little bunker, I guess. It's good. I didn't expect to like it. The ending leaves like a bunch of questions for if like it could be a sequel or it could just be like what is the fate of X person and stuff. But it's cool. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I really wanted to watch it just because of the director, but I never got around to it.
Yeah, who didn't he do again? It's not J.J. Abrams again.
No, it's Dan Trachtenberg.
What did he do?
He used to be on the Totally Rad Show.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. But yeah, it's a cool movie. Yeah. I just don't know. Apparently, it did really well at the box office. Like, it only cost like $10 million to make, I think.
Well, now that you tell me, it's only two sets.
Yeah.
And John Goodman and some no-name actors. And,
yeah.
And this new director who doesn't need money.
Yeah. So it only cost like $10 million to make, but apparently it made around like $80 million.
Damn.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? What else did I want to say? Yeah, so it was good. It was better than I expected.
Okay.
Yeah. The other one is a movie that I have been told over and over again to watch because it is so fantastic and it is so great. It is a cinematic masterpiece.
Huh.
And that is Leon the Professional. It is a French-directed movie starring Jean Reno. And, there's the little girl who's now a famous actress in it. I will look it up as I'm talking about it. But pretty much the story is Jean Reno is, he's an elite hitman, pretty much. He's a cleaner.
Mm.
And he's always secluded as a cleaner would be. He works for the mafia. When stuff needs to be cleaned,
He goes to work.
He has a specific set of skills.
Oh, of course he does.
Right. It was made in 1994 as well, so it's pretty old.
Yeah.
So what happens is that he's in this apartment building where he always sees this little girl outside. Actually, it's Natalie Portman.
Oh!
It is child Natalie Portman. There it is.
Okay.
So Jean always sees Natalie Portman's character. It's this little like punk 12-year-old kid who comes from a broken home, dad's selling drugs on the wrong side a lot of the time, mom's a prostitute, she's just smoking cigarettes in the hallways, she's 12.
Wow.
Right? So she comes from like this rough upbringing. And it turns out the dad is stealing, he's a holder. He takes cocaine, holds the product for people, gives it back out. And it turns out he's been stealing. He's been, like, when they tested, they give him a 100% pure stuff, and then when it comes back, it's 90% pure.
Not good.
Yeah, so he's stealing stuff. He's stealing cane. Turns out the organization finds out that Natalie Portman's character goes to get groceries at the store, and while she's out, Hit Squad comes, kills their whole family. Mom, dad, older sister, and 4-year-old brother.
Damn. Yeah,
just cold-blooded murder. Right? And she comes back, and she knows that Jean Reno's character is down the hallway, and she knows he's at home because she saw him go into the thing.
Uh-huh.
And she just walks up and is like, please open the door, please open the door. And so Jean Reno is now, he's a socially awkward hitman who has a job that's not fit for a little kid.
Yeah.
But he has to take care of her.
Yeah.
And she wants to be a cleaner. So she wants Jean Reno's character to teach her how to be a cleaner so she can take revenge on her family.
Yes.
Or for her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird little movie.
This sounds so anime.
It's a little anime. It's a weird movie in that, cause it's not full anime. If it was full anime, she would be a cold blooded killer by the end of it.
Oh, I see where you're going to go.
But she is not.
She's a kid. She's a real kid.
Yeah. She's a kid.
Yeah.
So Jean Reno does teach her how to defend herself, but never to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Until the middle of the movie, and then she's pretty much just an accomplice in all his murders. And it's this weird relationship where this Natalie Portman's character feels too grown up for her 12-year-old body,
mm-hmm.
and wants to be an adult and loves Jean Reno's character in a way that someone like in a lover situation.
Oh,
like,
man.
She wants to bang Jean Reno.
Tell me Portman's thirsty.
She's thirsty. Oh, she's right. 12 years old and thirsty.
Those hormones, they're firing.
I know, right? And then Jean Reno's character is a socially awkward guy, but he sees her as a daughter. And he feels like he's taken responsibility for her because he opened the door and he can't just let her go, right? Yeah. So she's part of the contract. No, she's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And all I've heard about this movie, it's like such an interesting premise, but all I've heard about this movie is that it's fantastic. It's amazing. And like, at best, it was pretty good, right? I think a lot of it is the hype around it that I've been told over years, that it's like one of the best movies ever that really destroyed it. This is also 1994.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of action movie tropes that at the time probably weren't played out yet.
They were still new and groundbreaking.
Yeah. Like, and stuff like that. And it was, I want to say overall, it was good. I can see why it would have been amazing at the time, especially because it's a French film.
Yeah.
It's not spoken in French. It's all spoken in English. It's set in New York. But it's by a French director. It's by a French studio. Jean Reno is the main character. So I can totally see why this movie would be groundbreaking.
Is it better than V for Vendetta?
I haven't seen V for Vendetta in a long time.
Okay.
Honestly, I like certain parts of V for Vendetta, but I don't remember liking the overall movie. I thought maybe it was a little bit too long. So I'd like to see if I like this one more. Because I did like it. The interaction between 12-year-old Natalie Portman and Jean Reno was... It's creepy,
but you like that.
It was weird.
Was it like creepy, but you couldn't stop watching
it? There was a part where I was like actually uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's 1994. Like, I'll do slight spoilers.
Yeah.
They were taking a break from learning how to murder people, and they wanted to play a game. So it's pretty much like you dress up as a character, do what the character does, and then you have to guess. But Jean Reno's character is like out of the loop, right? He just knows killing. He sleeps in a chair with one eye open at all times and a gun on his nightstand.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. And so he's trying to guess all these pop celebrities. So here's 12-year-old Natalie Portman dressed up as like shirtless Madonna.
Oh.
Singing Like a Virgin.
Ooh.
To Jean Reno. But like, Jean Reno's character thinks it's a game, but you can see for her that she's just trying to be like,
yeah,
look at me, I'm sexy 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, the other one she did was Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
And it was creepy. It was really creepy.
Creepy good, creepy.
If that was the tone they were going for, on them. They hit the nail on the head. But it was uncomfortable to watch.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. It was a pretty good movie. I just wish I wasn't as hyped on it. I think that's strictly what has ruined me on it.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the last thing I've been doing is I played a board game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's called Millennium Blades.
Never heard of it.
So this was originally kickstarted.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, it is a collectible card game simulator within a board game.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
So there is this fake card game called Millennium Blades within this board game. And you are a CCG... collector.
This is fucked up already.
Yeah. And you have to buy, you pick a character and they all have different things, but you have to buy booster packs to make decks to play
in. Too real!
To play in tournaments.
Oh no.
It looks super complicated. In fact, my friend.
It sounds super complicated.
It's actually not that bad. Oh, but my friend who initially wanted us to play it is like, watch this video. We're going to play it on Friday. Like, because I usually go down to the comic book store. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. It is a 35-minute video on how to play this game.
Oh, my God.
Actually playing the game is like really well made. It's so self-explanatory that 35-minute video was not needed, right?
35-minute
tutorial? 35-minute tutorial by some dude on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
It is crazy. But there's all these different booster packs. So each character starts with a character... a base deck, like starter cards, and some money. The
money.
The cool. I want to get through like the presentation of this game. There is a stack of cards. I want to say that is like this high.
Okay.
And for reference, people like, I want like the size of like a Samsung phone, not like the jumbo versions.
Yeah, the regular
like,
phone.
Like a regular phone.
Like a 5-inch.
Like a 5-inch, like stack that high.
Yeah.
Right? Of just booster cards okay. that you can buy from the shop. Okay. When you buy from the shop, you have wads of money. $1 is one wad
okay.
of ones. So when they give you money, you just have a stack that's like thick enough where you just slap it in your hands and be like, listen, I'm dropping money on cards.
Wow.
It's cool. It feels really cool because like even though it's like your stack is only worth one, this stack is only worth $1, you have like 10 ones in it, uh-huh. right? So it's got some heft to it. It just feels really cool. The presentation of the game is really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how it works is you can either win victory points by having a good deck in tournaments or by having the best collection,
oh.
right? And then overall your points have to be the highest at the end.
Okay.
Right, and so you get points for having a sick collection and you have points for winning tournaments.
Okay.
Right, and they all pool to the same thing. You can trade cards. So say you buy a booster off the store, right? And a booster pack in this case is only one card.
Okay.
Right? Say you buy a booster and it's like, I have this card. I can trade it to you, right? But you have to trade me a card with equal value. If this card is like star cost 6, you have to trade me a 6 cost card. Or you can give me money. Say you give me a 4 card and $2, right? You can give me money to trade. Or the other alternative is friendship points. It's like, I have a card. I know you need it to finish your deck. I'm just going to be nice to you and trade you this card. You give me, say, a 3 cost card and 3 friendship points.
Mm.
And those friendship points go into my total points pool that could possibly come back to bite you in the ass later. Right? At the end of the game when we total up all our
points. Oh, friendship points count as victory points?
Count as victory points.
Oh.
Right? So it's like, I'm being nice. Here's your card. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff. It does sound complicated, but it's not. It's not very. Yeah. What else did I want to say? The stack of cards. Deck building is done in real time. So you have 2, I think it's 8-minute rounds, and then 1 4-minute round. So at the start of the deck building round, timer starts. You have a fresh wad of cash. You get a free 6 cards, like a real booster pack.
Yeah.
And then you go. You build your deck. You sort it out. You see what you want in your collection. You see what you want in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
You see what you just want to keep in your binder for next round. And then you buy cards from the shop.
Mm.
Right? And then... But the thing is like, you blind buy them. You don't yeah. know. Unless there's one card, he looks like Pegasus.
Yeah. Let you buy whatever.
Yeah, he you can spend $1 to look at a pack and then put it back. And then you buy your packs, you build your deck, and then once that first initial 8 minutes is up, everyone puts their cards down, everyone gets a new free booster pack, you start again, and that's your final buying phase.
Okay.
That's when you can buy trade cards, buy promos, do whatever. Then after that 8 minutes is up, then it's just strictly deck building.
Okay.
And if your deck is not built within the 4 minutes that you have left,
yeah.
you have to go into the battle round with an incomplete deck.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds rough.
It's more than enough time. It's not like the cards aren't so crazy that you're just gonna be like, I don't know what combo does which. It's like they're usually pretty easy to figure out like what kind of combo you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. The card, there's very heavy references on it as well.
Oh, to like other.
To like other stuff. So like, yeah, there's one who's just the main, one of the characters is just Pegasus, but he has like a different name and he wins everything with money, right?
I see.
Yeah.
And you played this in a card shop.
Yeah.
Wow. How meta was that?
I know, right?
Wow.
It's really fun. I don't know if you can actually buy it like via retail, because my friend did get it on Kickstarter.
I'm assuming you'll be able to get it eventually.
Yeah.
Probably like look to their actual website.
Yeah. But I was like really impressed. The game was super fun.
Wow.
I really want to play it again, because I didn't get to finish the whole match.
How long is it?
It's kind of long.
Okay.
Like setup and deconstruction of that game takes forever,
because
there are so many pieces.
It sounds like it. Like, yeah. You have to build a fucking CCG within a board game.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot to set up and deconstruct.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
No, that was it.
Yeah. So it's kind of a long, it's kind of an investment. Like, maybe set aside like 2 hours, 2.5.
Yeah.
Like 2 to 3 hours, maybe.
Jeez.
To play this game.
Okay.
But it was really fun. I really want to try and find a copy of this.
All right.
Yeah.
You know how much it goes for?
I do not. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of materials.
It's a lot of material. It's a big box.
Sounds like it's independent.
It is very independent. Ooh. It is what you would call a designer board game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like independent designer board game. It's sounds pricey.
Yeah, it's really cool. If like I don't know if you can get it. If people sound if people are interested in playing a collectible card game within a board game, definitely check it. Like just Google Millennium Blade, see what it's all about.
Weird name, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they just named it because that's what the card game is within.
Oh, okay.
Within the game.
All right.
Yeah, but it's so in depth. Like, when you play it for the first time, it really feels like this card game has been around for a while, because it has like so many different expansions.
Mm.
The one funny one was like, it was a Final Fantasy VII knockoff.
Yeah.
For the booster pack, but it was like something fantasy, but like MCXVIII, like super high number, and there's this like knockoff Cloud on the cover.
Yeah.
There's one card. He's like a derpy Sora, like spiky hair covering his face, two buck teeth, and like a keyblade.
Nice.
Right. There's a lot of references. There's a lot of references.
Hmm, sounds like fun.
There's a deck box with a. So you get deck boxes.
This game has deck boxes.
Oh yeah. Oh sorry. Yeah. I probably should have explained in the tournament.
Is that a side deck?
Tournament phase. You have a deck of 8 cards, a deck box, and 2 accessories. So accessories are like reactionary cards or instant cards that you can use to give you protection from players.
Like trap cards?
Kind of.
Ooh.
One accessory is just card sleeves.
Oh,
and
wow.
if a guy tries to flip one of your cards, you can use card sleeves and negate it. Or another one is like an energy drink, and you can play 2 cards in one turn.
Oh.
Right, and then but your deck box has different effects based on what like you want your deck box to complement your deck.
Yeah.
So like one deck box is called Shuffled, Not Stirred.
Oh.
And it's a deck box in like a James Bond tuxedo. And then you get bonus points, I think, for every successful battle you win.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. The game is very deep and rich with strategy. And I think it would get more fun as you played it more and learned what the cards are.
Yeah, it sounds very, very complicated.
Yeah. It sounds super complicated. But if you've played a TCG,
yes,
or if you played a trading card game or a collectible card game,
yeah,
like or even if you've just collected Pokemon cards in your life, like all the rules are just they'll flood to you. They're like, oh, this just makes sense because this is what I would do in real life, right? Here is the deck of the cards I want to use. Here is the collection of like these are all just here for show. Yeah. Like check out all the cool shit I have, and then here's like the binder full of junk that I don't need, right?
Right.
Right. So a lot of it just makes sense. And if you've played card games before, then yeah.
I just looked it up. It was $80.
$80 US.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's kind of pricey.
It's currently sold out.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good.
Cool.
And yeah, I've been doing some other stuff in my week, but nothing like I haven't delved deep enough into it to warrant talking about it
on the podcast. Yeah. You got a new coaster, I saw.
I did not buy a coaster. I bought a Vita. A PlayStation Vita.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah, I'm playing a bunch of Vita games. And I'm playing Metal Gear Acid.
Wow.
But I'll get...
Next week is what you'll say?
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Oh, I found a funny thing. I was reading the manual for Metal Gear Acid.
Mm-hmm.
The story takes place in the far-flung future of 2016.
Oh my god. When did that come out?
I don't know.
2004.
Yeah, the far-flung future of 2016.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of time flying, we just spoke for a not insignificant amount of time.
Yay!
I'm
sure my bumbling over words didn't help.
No, it never does.
It never does.
So, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's it for this week, guys. Bit of a packed show.
Yeah.
Tell us what you guys thought about Voltron. Are you guys watching Voltron? What are your favorite thoughts from E3? You excited about Lonely Girl 15's return?
Eh.
Any cool movies you guys watched? You guys playing Overwatch?
Overwatch.
And did you pick up Millennium Blades?
I'm going to say no to that one. I'm going to say that a lot of our listeners didn't.
What if that's like the only thing the listeners report back with?
They'd be like, yo, Millennium Blaze is awesome. I love playing Millennium Blaze. That'd be insane.
That would be insane. Now, you know, they're all just going to lie in the comment section and say that they did.
Yeah, no, of course. But I'll believe them because I have nothing else to base it off of.
I just believe everyone likes to lie on the internet, so I don't believe anything.
I've realized now why so many arguments get started on the internet.
Why?
Because of age anonymity.
Yeah.
Because everyone takes everyone's opinion as equal. Whereas you could just be arguing with like a 6-year-old.
9 times out of 10 you are.
Yeah.
So I don't respond. Yeah. Or I respond like an asshole, like a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're Gundam reviews, I'm tired of these vlogs. God damn.
Yeah. Tight.
Get your shit together, Vince. The Gundam crew needs you.
But I gotta do those Macross reviews.
That's not Gundam! You don't build those!
Speaking of which, the guys who make Figmas, they announced they're making a 1/20th scale Valkyrie.
That's big.
It's big, yeah. It's like this.
That does nothing on audio.
You're right, it doesn't. It's about 2.5 feet.
That's insane. Yeah. Where would you put that?
I would hang it from the ceiling right above our studio.
See, and you make fun of me for wanting that Metal Gear Rex.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
No. I would keep mine in Gerwalk all the time.
Ew!
I
would have disgusting!
I would have 4 of them just Gerwalking on, the ceiling.
I'd be so distracted.
I know. I know.
Gerwalk's so stupid.
Gerwalking the ceiling. But yeah, that's it for us. Thanks for listening, guys. Next week...
more stuff.
Shit happens.
More cool stuff.
Yeah, we'll do that. And you can guarantee that we will ignore the not cool stuff.
That's not true.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.